Praise God, praise God. It's good to be in the house of the Lord today. Good to see each and every one of you that's here. If you don't know me, my name is Bob Yenna. I'm part of the ministry team here at Elkhart Life, and we want to welcome you to this wonderful service, amen, on this nice fall-like morning. And if you don't like it, as the old saying goes in Indiana, just hang around for a day or two. It'll change. It'll be 90 by the end of the week, so praise the Lord. But it's good to be here. Amen, amen. Praise God. And I'm so glad that you're here with us today. And it's fitting that the song that was being played, because the name of my message today that we're teaching is My Alabaster Box. Praise the Lord. I didn't know she was going to sing that song, but hey, I'm so glad that she did. Praise the Lord. Now I don't have to teach. She sang it, and I can. We can have fellowship. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, amen, amen, praise God. I want to just go ahead and read my scriptures this morning, amen. It will be in St. John 12, verses 1 through 8, praise God. And you may see a familiar theme as the song that was sang, praise the Lord. It says, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then Mary took a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then said one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had a bag and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept this. For the poor always you have with you, but me you have not always. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Thank you, precious Lord Jesus. We ask, dear God, that you would anoint this service today, that you would anoint our ears, anoint our hearts, anoint our minds, dear God, that we can glean from your word something that we can individually use throughout this week, dear Lord. We ask, dear God, that you would anoint each one that's here today. Bless this message this morning, we ask in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Praise the Lord. Before you sit down, let's give the Lord a good hand clap of praise and let him know we appreciate that we're here and he is here. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. In these 8 short verses, we have quite a description of events. And my mind just can't help but go where it always goes. My wife tells me that sometimes I use 2 paragraphs to describe something that could be said in 2 words. And I guess that's just my nature. But as I read and studied and just poured into these 8 verses, there's so much that's going on here. There's so much that perhaps we don't really know. And a matter of fact, the spikenard, the ointment that Mary used for Jesus' feet, it wasn't something that was cheap that you could go down to the Walmart store and buy. It was something that was very costly. Even Judas realized that it could be sold for 300 pence, which in reality was about 9 to 10 months worth of someone's income at that time. Mary had bought this, and no doubt it was something that was favorite, like you ladies have your favorite perfume. Amen. My wife has a perfume, and everyone, she runs out of it, I have to hit the internet and start searching, where can you buy it? Because it's something that she's wore ever since I've known her, Estee Lauder. And you can't just go to the store and buy it. Praise the Lord. So Mary had this, and it's a very, very powerful oil. It would just fill the room. Just a little bit of it would fill the room with its fragrance. Amen. It's something that was actually grown in the Himalayan mountains. And it took hundreds or thousands of these plants to squeeze the oil out of to make a pound of the ointment that Mary is going to use for Jesus. And not only that, but it would have to travel hundreds of miles because it wasn't made in Israel. It was made in India. And so it was something very precious. It was something, amen, that Mary probably used rather sparingly, but when she did wear it, everybody would know Mary's in the room. Where's she at? I can smell that fragrance. Praise the Lord. And Mary used it for Jesus. All of it. Not just a dab behind the ears, a dab between each toe. She used every bit of it because that was the caring love that she had for the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. And even though Mary is kind of the focal point of this, amen, account, we find that there are five people out of everybody that's at the supper. I have to assume the disciples were there. At least John was there because he's recording this. But he's not mentioned. There's only five people that's mentioned in this entire account. We have Jesus. We have Lazarus, we have Martha, we have Mary, and we have Judas. And each one of them represent a different spirit at this supper. Amen. And they're here today. They're here today. Lazarus was there. He was fellowshipping with the Lord. Wouldn't you like to sit down and talk to him and say, hey, Lazarus, what was it like to be in the grave for 4 days? What did it feel like when you opened your eyes and they was covered in a napkin and you was in a tomb and there was a little doorway that was open and you could just see the light of the door and you didn't realize where you was at, you didn't realize what was going on, but what was it like to try to get up off of that slab and hop over to the door and come out and have the Lord say, loose him, get him out of the grave clothes? Wouldn't you like to have that discussion? What was it like, Lazarus? He probably could just astound us all with what he had to say. He was there fellowshipping. He was there with Jesus. He was there and he was sitting at the table and people were around him and he was fellowshipping. A lot like we do, praise the Lord. So we have the spirit of fellowship represented in these eight verses. We have the spirit of the Lord represented in these eight verses because Jesus is the spirit. Amen. His spirit is with us today. Praise the Lord. And so we have Martha, busy serving everybody, cooking the meal, doing everything. Praise the Lord. And she was making sure everybody was taken care of. Servitude is an important part of the church body. Brother Johnson will serve us later today in the next service. Praise the Lord as he serves us the word of God that's given to him. Praise the Lord. Amen. But Mary decided to worship. Mary represents the spirit of worship. Amen. Everyone in the world we're living in today, the spirit of worship is being taken out of everything. Amen. There are places you can go. You could have went this morning, and basically it's come as you are, stay as you are, be as you are. You don't need to change, just come. But God called us out of what we were. Not to remain in what we were, but to come out. So there's got to be a change in us. Mary is worshiping the Lord. And then we have Judas. Oh, what a character. What a necessary character. Unfortunately, Judas was necessary to give you and I what we have today, salvation. Judas was the one that was the critic. Judas was the one that says, why is she wasting this oil on the feet of Jesus? We could have sold it. We could have given the money to the poor. We could have helped so many families. What a waste, what a waste. Judas didn't see the value of what Mary was doing. Praise the Lord. And so we can always look at this and we can always say, okay, Jesus knew there was a warrant out for his arrest. As we know, on the backside, they didn't know on the front side, But there was a warrant out for Jesus' arrest. The priesthood did not like him, did not want him doing what he was doing, did not want him bringing something new into their arena, just like Satan don't want you accepting what God has you for you today. God doesn't want you to, or Satan doesn't want you to raise your hands and worship God. Satan doesn't want you to feel the Holy Ghost just permeating through your body. Satan doesn't want you to be happy that you're in church. He wants you to, it's an obligation. I got to be here. It's just my obligation. But it's a joy. The Bible tells me that I was glad when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of the Lord. I was happy. We should be here yelling and saying, God, I'm glad that you called me out. Where else could we be? Where else could we be if we weren't here? Think about where you came from. I remind myself of where I came from a lot. Because, see, that's a place I don't want to go back to. And each one of us have a different story. Each one of us here, if we was at this supper, would probably have a different viewpoint of why we was there. There would be some that were worshiping. There would be some that were serving. There would be some that would be fellowshipping. And unfortunately, there might, not in this service, there might be somebody that's saying, what in the world is going on and why are they doing that? Because you see, the five spirits that are represented in this eight verses are all around us. Praise the Lord. Amen. Surely Jesus knew that there was a warrant out for his arrest. He comes to Bethany. Bethany is just a small town that's only 2 miles east of Jerusalem, where he's going to go and be crucified. He was close to where he was going to wind up. He knew that they were searching for him. They had already tried to stone him earlier. They had already tried to take him out of the picture. So he had to know, but there was something that he had to be here for. That's one thing about the Lord that I serve, is that you may have a need, and he'll show up, and he'll supply that need. The Bible says that he will supply all, not part, not some, not when he wants to, but he will supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory. Hallelujah. His riches. Praise the Lord. I'm so glad that I serve a God that doesn't live in my time. I'm so glad that I serve a God that isn't bound by the things that I'm bound by. He's preparing my future outside of my time because he's not bound to it. As Pastor Johnson has preached many times, God does not, he's not bound by time. He's not bound by the things that we are. That's why when he comes back, he's going to declare time to be no more. One day time will not affect me. One day I won't even know that there's another day because there won't be another day. One day I won't even realize it. You can enjoy that in the kingdom of God, or you can enjoy that in the judgment of God, because time will not exist either place. I want to be in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So Bethany is just a short distance. It's on the southeastern slopes of the Mount of Olives, 2 miles east of Jerusalem. And we know that this is 6 days before the Passover. The Bible plainly tells us 6 days. 6 days. 6 days before the Passover. Jesus is coming to see Lazarus, Martha, and Mary. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so as we look a little closer at what these verses have for us, we can glean a lot of things. All of us can glean a little bit of something, probably different for each and every one of us, whatever the situation is. You know, if you don't like fall-like weather like we have today, in a few days you'll be able to enjoy the heat. Personally, this is my type of time. I like this weather. I don't like 90. I don't know. I just don't like it. But we can each one glean, because we see that Jesus is here. He's the honor of the feast. He's the one that is necessary to be here so the feast could even happen. Jesus is necessary to be here so we can have church. Jesus' sacrifice was necessary so we can be a part of the body of Christ. Jesus' sacrifice was necessary so that where we came from, we can come out of. Because without that sacrifice, we would not have the opportunity of salvation. See, the Jewish people didn't want that. They liked it in their own little world, in their own little corner. They didn't like the Samaritans. But I find that Jesus loved the Samaritans. He went to the well and he talked to the Samaritan woman. Amen. He healed 10 lepers. And guess what one of those lepers were? He was a Samaritan. And when he told them to go back and show themselves to the priest, the Samaritan couldn't go to the priesthood because he wasn't allowed. So where did he come back to? He came back to his priest, Jesus Christ, his priest, my priest, your priest. He's necessary. This is necessary. Hallelujah. We have Lazarus who was dead for 4 days, and fellowship is necessary. Hallelujah. What a boring life we would have if we couldn't just fellowship one with another. We had our sages meeting the other on Thursday. Amen. And it's a good fellowship. You know, if you're 55 or older and you don't come, you don't know what you're missing. Because it's a great time. A great time of fellowship. I mean, if you can make it. I know some at 55 you gotta work. At 70 you don't. Praise the Lord. Amen. But it's a good time. Fellowship is necessary. Amen. When we come here to church today, amen, and we gather around and we talk, and I was glad to see Brother Wayne today. He's come back from his trip, amen, and a necessary trip, praise the Lord. But nonetheless, I missed him. I missed him. He's part of my fellowship. You're part of my fellowship. Brother, if you're not here, I miss you. Because I look forward to seeing you. We may not know each other on a personal level, but I miss you if you're not here. Hallelujah. Because why? Because that's the church we're in. Hallelujah. Amen. We don't just come just to take and occupy a seat, our favorite seat. And this must be this brother's favorite seat because that's where he's at all the time. And I'm glad. Praise the Lord. But we got our favorite places, and the people were surrounding us. We're fellowshipping. We're enjoying the church. We're enjoying being here with one another. We're enjoying talking to one another, finding out what was your week like. Nobody? Oh, I expected to hear a bunch of clamor. My week was, praise the Lord. Fellowship is important. Hallelujah. Asking one another questions. How can I help you? What is it that I can get? Do you need prayer? Can we pray for you? Can we do the things that a church body really needs to do in this busy, divided world that we live in? Everywhere you go, division is everywhere. Then and the world seems to be trying to push us farther apart instead of bringing us together. The facade of we want to all come together, the facade of we all want to live together and get along together is being pushed, but the reality is everything that's being done is pushing us away. But see, everything that's done in the church is to draw us closer to Christ. Amen. This supper Martha planned. What a woman of hospitality. To plan a supper for her friend Jesus and her brother Lazarus and whoever else came. I don't know who else came, but there was more there than just five people. To take that time to plan and to prepare the meal. Amen. Sometimes when we come to church and we come to a meal or something, we don't realize what goes into getting that all set up. We don't realize the hours of the and sacrifice of the people that are serving. We don't realize, you know, exactly what all Martha went through. She didn't have a microwave oven. She didn't have a Keurig coffee maker. She didn't have all of those devices that we share today that cut the time of doing this out. She had to take and so deliberately plan each and everything that was being done. She had to plan that meal. She had to plan for more people than she even thought. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Like I said, I can only imagine that all 12 of the disciples were there. I can't imagine that Martha would just invite Judas and not anyone else. I can't imagine that. So my imagination goes on a little further and it says, okay, so there was at least all the disciples there. But then the Bible tells me that there was friends there too. There was friends of Lazarus, there was friends of Martha's, there was friends of Mary's. And so she opened her door, her home, Lazarus, Martha, and Mary opened their home to visitors to come in because Jesus was there. Our doors are open today because why? Because Jesus is here. Jesus is here. He's the one. He's the reason we're here. Hallelujah. He's the reason that I got up this morning and started wondering, okay, what am I going to wear today? And I went to my closet, to my 7 or 8 suits that I have. And which one of you do I want to wear? And do I want to wear you with this? And so you can see what I chose. It's right here. Praise the Lord. Amen. Because Jesus is here. Hallelujah. I came here because the Lord is here. And you all look great to me. And I'm happy you're here. Praise the Lord. But it's the Lord that's here. It's the hospitality that we share. It's the fellowship that we share. Amen. But then there is Mary. Mary is the worshiper. Worship. Hallelujah. She sacrificed a great amount just to pour on the feet of Jesus. And the aroma of that ointment filled the house. There was no doubt when that alabaster box was opened and the ointment began to pour, there was no doubt that the aroma just oozed through the house. Hallelujah. What Mary was doing, and Jesus even said it, that she does this because I'm about to die. It's something that nobody there wanted to hear. Nobody at that meal wanted to hear Jesus was about to die. Nobody. The disciples didn't want to hear it. Judas knew it was going to happen because he was going to be the betrayer. But nobody wanted to hear that. They all just plugged their, we're all going to die. We're all going to make that final trip one day. Amen. And it's okay, so the Lord's going to die someday, maybe 30, 40 years from now. That's what we like to think. Amen. But Jesus said that she's doing it because of my death. He knew they weren't going to have time to prepare his body the way that it should. Hallelujah. And so as she put that ointment on his feet, and she began to wipe the ointment with the hair of her head. It was not customary for a woman to let her hair down in public back at that time. It was covered. And so she had to bring her hair out from under the covering that was traditional. And she had to bring it out, and it was long. And she's there, and she's wiping his feet with her hair, and the aroma of the ointment is just filling the entire house, and everybody's looking around, and whoa, this is something that's not expected. Amen. It's like you're walking in, and husbands, when you're sitting there, and all of a sudden your wife is getting dressed, and you're going to go out, and maybe you're sitting in your recliner and or your power lift chair or whatever chair you have. Praise the Lord. And all of a sudden your wife walks by, and oh yeah, that's my wife. The ointment, the aroma is going. It's actually permeating into the skin of Jesus. Amen. It's permeating into the robe of Jesus. Amen. It's the ointment is settling in the entire body of Jesus, his hair, his beard, his clothing, not just his feet, because the aroma is just permeating throughout the entire house. And it's so special, because what we don't think about is that in about 6 days or so, Jesus was going to be crucified. And what we don't realize is how intense your worship really can be to those around you. Mary's worship, what she did that day, was going to go with Jesus. And perhaps Pilate could smell the aroma of the spikenard that Mary had anointed him with. As he stood before the priest and he was being sentenced and judged, the aroma that Mary had anointed him with is filling the entire place where Jesus stood, because you see, it's a very, very potent ointment. It's something that just doesn't go away like today's perfume the next day. It's something that is made to stick around. It's something that's made to last. Amen. It's something that a little dab behind the ears will last you for a long time. But Jesus is standing there, and no doubt that the priest could. Now, there's an ointment that you don't smell very often, because it's so rare, it's so precious. And no doubt that when the Roman soldiers parted and they ripped the robe off of Jesus, the aroma as they fanned the robe filled the room. Mary's worship went on from beyond that house to the beyond to his crucifixion. Your worship, my worship, is essential. Our worship is essential, because it is what will go from beyond this service to next week, to your job, to your homes. Hallelujah. That's why worshiping the Lord is so important, because it doesn't just end here. It goes beyond these walls. Hallelujah. Mary didn't realize everything that was going to happen. She didn't even realize that she was anointing the Lord for his death. But her worship went on to Jerusalem. Her worship stood before the Romans. Her worship stood before Pilate. Because you see, when we worship the Lord, it enters into a realm that's beyond time, space, and matter. When we worship God and it gets to his throne room, he's outside of our realm. And it goes into his realm. Hallelujah. And God then begins to use it for us. And he may take that testimony, he may take that worship, he may take something that you've done in this service, if you do it, and he'll put it into the future, and it will affect somebody in your future. Just like Mary's ointment affected the Roman soldiers and the priesthood and those that executed, even when Jesus was hanging on the cross, I believe that the aroma of that ointment filled the air. It was that powerful. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But yet we had somebody that said, now, wait a minute, why are you wasting that? You know, there may be somebody that don't understand your worship. There may be somebody sitting back, and when you raise your hands and tears roll down your face and you're thanking God because you know what God has done for you. I don't know what God has done for you, but you know what God has done for you. They may be sitting back and saying, why are you making such an exhibit about yourself? They don't know. But God is going to take that worship from today, and he's going to take it, and maybe there's somebody tomorrow that needs to know and needs to see it, and that God is going to use that worship for your benefit. Hallelujah. Mary didn't realize all that she was doing. Amen. She had to overlook the critique of Judas saying, why are you wasting this ointment? It's so precious. It came hundreds of miles into your possession, and you're using all of it at one time on the feet. You didn't even anoint his. You know, normally in the Bible, in the Old Testament, when a king was anointed, they didn't anoint his feet. They anointed his head. And so Judas is scratching his head saying, you know, if you're going to anoint him, pour it over his head. But she's anointing his feet. Why? Because of where Jesus has been and where he's going. The Bible says the footsteps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. Amen. We don't think about the feet. As a matter of fact, they may be the most neglected part of your body because you have to. If you're like me and you got Dunlap disease, it's hard to get down there. And my wife don't like touching my feet. And I don't make her do it either. That might be why we're still together. Don't make her clip my toenails. Don't make her wash my feet. Don't make her put the cream on my feet. And, here, honey, take care of these dogs tonight. They're hurting today. No, but the feet. You need your feet to take you to where you need to go. Amen. She anointed his feet. Hallelujah. And she had to overlook the severe criticism of Judas. Sometimes you have to overlook the criticism that somebody will bring to your life. You see, because Satan does not want you worshiping God. Why? Because he can't stay where true worshipers are worshiping God. He's got to leave. I was in a service years ago and was having a powerful prayer. It was a camp meeting, by the way, as a matter of fact. We was having a powerful prayer meeting, and the Holy Ghost was falling here and falling there, and everybody was worshiping God. The entire auditorium was lit up with the praise of God, and all of a sudden, a young girl went screaming, running out of the service, "I can't stay here! I can't stay here!" Little did she know that's where she really needed to be. Because she was entertaining a spirit that didn't enjoy the presence of God. See, because when we start worshiping and we start praising God and we start calling down the Shekinah glory from heaven, amen, when we start worshiping up, God starts flowing down. Hallelujah. Amen. Mary didn't realize everything that she was doing. She didn't realize of the very effect that she was going to have on the future. You don't realize the very effect your witness has on the future. Hallelujah. Is there somebody that you're praying for, somebody that you're wanting to see come to church, somebody that you know needs to have what you have? Amen. Because you see, our worship will last. You know, serving a meal will last for the meal. Fellowshipping will last for a few hours. Amen. Praise the Lord. Brother Johnson's going to minister here in a bit, and his message will last an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours. Yeah. I've been in services. I started a service in my younger servitude of the Lord, and I walked into a service at 7 o'clock at night, and I didn't leave until 2 o'clock in the morning. And everybody today would be getting up, leaving. Oh, you're going to stay here. This is that long-winded preacher anyway. What's he thinking about? Well, it just so happens that was the night I got the Holy Ghost. It took until 1 o'clock to break me. Hallelujah. See, God knows what you need. He knows exactly where you're at. Amen. You may not be where you want to be, but you keep serving God and keep worshiping him, he'll bring you where you need to be. He'll bring you out of where you're at and put you into the place where you're needed. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Mary didn't realize the long-reaching effects of what she was doing would do. She didn't realize what her worship would turn into a written testimony for 2,000 years later. She didn't do it so that John would write this account in a book so that you and I can read it today. She didn't realize. Look how long her worship has lasted. You know, worship is intentional. You don't just accidentally do it. You have to intend to do it. When you begin, then you put in your mind and you decide you're going to worship God and you put your hands in the air, amen. And I know that not everywhere you go can you put your hands in the air and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for delivering me. Thank you for bringing me out of where you brought me out of. Thank you, Lord, for everything that you're going to do for me in the future. I don't just pray for today, but I pray for tomorrow. Hallelujah. I get up every morning and I get down and I pray to God and I say, Lord, let me serve you better today than I did yesterday. I don't want to be what I was yesterday. I want to be better at it. I want to at least learn something. How many have life lessons that we learn from? Praise the Lord. Life's lessons. I want to be better tomorrow than I am today. And that's my prayer even as I stand right here now. I want to serve God better tomorrow than I do today. Because you see, I think I'm doing a pretty good job of it. But maybe God doesn't. There's something in my life that needs to come out. There's something that needs to be changed, altered a little bit. Praise the Lord. How many have hindsight? You remember something you did a year ago that you wish you could go back in time and you could eliminate? You know, there are a lot of those times. But you know what I have concluded? That if I go back and change one thing that happened, even though I don't like it, I don't like what happened, I don't like how it made me feel, I don't like what it did to me, but if I change that, I change where I am today. Because it takes all of those experiences to get me to where I need to go. And if I didn't have those experiences, if I didn't have those failures, if I didn't have those faults to overcome, I would not be as appreciative of the kingdom of God as I am today, because he helps me. Mary didn't realize the long term of her worship. Mary didn't realize that when she went to her bedroom perhaps and she got her favorite alabaster box full of spikenard ointment and she brought it out, she had in her heart, I'm going to anoint Jesus' feet. She may not have even thought of that at the beginning of the meal. But somewhere in the meal, somewhere during the fellowship, somewhere during the servitude, somewhere during sitting and speaking with Jesus, something overcame her. And she walked into whatever room that this alabaster box was sitting on, whatever stand or whatever shelf, and she pulled it off and she said, I have got to give this to the Lord. This is 9 or 10 months worth of my wages, but it doesn't mean anything to me today. I have to give this to the Lord. There's something that's drawing me to do this, something that's urging me to do this. Amen. Praise the Lord. I don't think she realized that she was anointing Jesus for his burial until Jesus said it. You know, there's sometimes you start doing things for the Lord, you don't realize why you're doing them. And then at some point the Lord speaks to your heart and then the light bulb comes on. You know, like the little cartoon. Oh, that's why I did that. Oh, now it makes sense. Honey, you remember that thing you said didn't make any sense that I did? Here, let me share with you what it is. Because, you see, it may not make sense to me. But in time, it will. It didn't make sense why Mary was doing what she was doing. But in time, it did. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Worship is intentional. You don't fall into it. You don't just accidentally do it, praise the Lord, because you have to be willing to do it. You know, Mary could have said, well, something's telling me to go get my ointment and pour on Jesus' feet. But, you know, I worked awful hard for that. It's kind of like people with their tithes and offering. You know, I worked awful hard for that. And so do I really have to do that? Well, if you want to be blessed, you do. But that's your choice. Nobody says you have to. Praise the Lord. But I believe that it's necessary. And so Mary didn't just say, well, man, this is awful. Jesus, I'll be back. I need to run down to the Traders. They got a cheaper ointment down there. Now, you know, they got something that ain't going to cost me as much, and I'll go get that. And her testimony would have changed. Her worship would have changed. Because what she was led to do, she didn't do. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. It is so good to be in the house of the Lord and to know who He is, isn't it? Isn't it? It's good to be here today. And I hope that as we go forward, that we can glean our worship. We're going to have a worship service here. Let your worship leave this building with you today and serve you for tomorrow. Let your worship be so powerful today that it affects your decisions tomorrow. Hallelujah. Maybe you don't know the Lord like a lot of us here do. Maybe you've never experienced some of the things that I've experienced, and that's okay because they're there for you. But let us impact our tomorrow with our worship today. Not that all of these other things are unnecessary, because the ministry of the word is necessary. Fellowship is necessary. Hallelujah. Judgment is not necessary. But worship, as we see, and as I believe the foundation of these eight verses are, worship is what's going to go on for you personally in the future. Every time you raise your hands and you say, thank you, Lord, and you speak to God from your heart about something He's done for you, it goes right up. And He can handle a million thoughts at a time, because He's not like me. That you know, if I'm in a conversation and there's 20 people talking to me, I say, oh, whoa, 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 whoa. One at a time, please. God isn't that way. God can hear us all at once and answer us individually all at once. Our worship. What I get out of this is that Mary's worship carried forward for 2,000 years because of that one thing that she did. Let's stand today. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We got a few minutes, amen, for fellowship. A few minutes to prepare for the next service. Praise the Lord. It's so good to be here. I pray that you enjoyed the service. If you didn't, pray for me. Praise the Lord. Amen. I can always use prayer. That's one thing that I can always say, that I need prayer. Praise the Lord. And in prayer, let's raise our hands to the Lord this morning, and let's go to Him. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank You, dear God, for all that You've done, all that You're doing. We thank You, Lord, for Your mercy. We thank You, Lord, for Your long-suffering. We pray, Lord, that You would direct our footsteps. We pray that You would bless our worship service. We pray that You would bless our pastor as he brings forth the word. Hallelujah. We pray, dear God, You'd bless our Sunday school teachers, our music team. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. As we worship and work for Your kingdom, and we ask in Jesus' name, and the church says, amen. Amen.